I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Cincinnati, Ohio. Come along and join me for a visit with Ira Simpson Bush. She's the executive director of Pigworks Flying Pig Marathon. The marathon, ranked by USA Today as the number one best marathon in the entire United States in 2024, the Flying Pig Marathon is revered by runners and for good reason. It's fun, with pig motifs used everywhere, from the pig pen corrals to crossing the finish swine. The course runs through the most diverse and scenic neighborhoods of Cincinnati and surrounding townships and alongside the Ohio River. Last year, Cincinnati welcomed nearly 30,000 participants from all 50 states and 22 countries, making it the 13th largest annual U.S. running festival. The pig theme is unique to Cincinnati because of the city's rich history in pork processing. It earned the moniker Porkopolis way back in the 1800s, and thus the genesis of the name Flying Pig Marathon. Come along and join the conversation with the most ardent fan of the Flying Pig Marathon, Iris Simpson Bush.
Land of the flying pig.
Yes, where pigs fly and you, dreams come true.
I love it. And your name is?
Iris Simpson Bush.
And you've been involved in a marathon for a long time.
It has been a long time, Tom.
You were involved in creating it?
Well, yeah, helping to build it. I'd heard somebody was trying to bring a marathon to town. I happened to work at a local TV station. We offered our support to help promote it, and I was asked to be on the board. That was in August of 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I did have the honor of being a part of the creative team.
So was there a marathon in town before?
Long time ago, there was one in Northern Kentucky. That was in the late 70s. Nothing in Cincinnati. And part of the deterrent was our hilly terrain. Cincinnati's not your typical flat Midwestern town. In fact, we have seven hills surrounding us. And it is a challenging course. We're always the first to admit that. But when you do the pig, you get bragging rights.
What year is this in your anniversary?
We just had our 26th running.
Uh-huh.
It was, we think, very, very successful. Like a lot of events, we had to weather the pandemic and...
Is that a jet?
Yeah, you're getting it all.
Yeah. Front row center, right on the riverfront.
Railroad, airlines, uh-huh. All the... So, like a lot of other marathons, you know, trying to weather the pandemic, it was a survival. Kept through it. We did it virtually in those years, and it came back. And
how do you do a virtual marathon?
Well, people are on their honor system.
Yeah, no kidding.
People, you know, signed up. There were thousands who wanted to do it. Let's face it, during the pandemic, people were eager for anything that's outdoors, health and fitness. We became all much more conscious of that. So thousands signed up. It was a nominal fee, but we sent them their shirts and gave them their medals. And I think that it was a goal-setting environment. You set a goal, you went out and you did it, and we were happy to be able to support them.
And part of the myth, legend, and lore and why people want to come is the flying pig.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Cincinnati is known as was known as Porkopolis. The late 1800s, they literally ran pigs through the streets of town. They were delivered at the riverfront. The stockyards and meatpacking industry was further up in town, so pigs ran through the streets. Known as Porkopolis, it's a very dubious distinction. So back in the 1980s, the riverfront was developed, a beautiful park, a park-like setting where we're right now. They hired an architect, a sculptor, to do something that was indicative of the city's history. His name was Andrew Leicester. He came to town, did his research, and decided that pigs were an important part of our heritage and helped to build, you know, the economy of the city. So flying pigs do soar over our riverfront now. And later, and that was in like 1986, later, closer to the 1999 debut, a group who decided that Cincinnati should have its marathon. They were actually people running with team and training. They had a great model where you'd go to different cities, they'd set up your hotel room, get you there, and you raised money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Well, our founder, Bob Coughlin, had been doing that for years, and after going to so many other cities, he wanted his own hometown to have its own marathon. Some people poo-pooed his idea, again, for the terrain, the hilly geographical location of Cincinnati, but he was determined to make it happen. The running community in Cincinnati has always been very active, very prolific. In fact, there are some who say we're a running mecca. He got the support he needed. He is a business owner, put up funds, got several other companies, a few that you've probably heard of, P&G being one of them.
Procter and Gamble,
as we sometimes say, Procter and God. But we also now remind them that you cannot have the pig without a P&G.
That's so funny.
Well, we try. We do love our puns, and that became one of them. Toyota, a longtime automotive sponsor, calls themselves the official rig of the pig. So our very name is conducive to
people love it.
The brand and having fun with the brand. We always say we put the fun in the run.
So people, some sign up for the marathon just to get the pig medal, right?
Absolutely. I cannot tell you how many times I've been told, well, I never really thought of coming to Cincinnati, but I came for this big fat pig butt on the back of the medal. And our response is always whatever it takes to get them here. Very proud of our hometown, and it's a great place to introduce people to a different part of the country.
When does the annual marathon take place?
We are always the first Sunday in May. In our early years, we were on Mother's Day. That was because we couldn't get hotels.
Right.
You know, you have to do that years in advance. So for the first 2 years, we were on Mother's Day. After that, our past 24 years, the first Sunday in May. And we have become a weekend running festival.
How many people do you draw?
Well, this year we had 39,000.
Wow.
Our record year was 43,667, to be exact. Yes, people have embraced the pig. They've embraced the idea of this weekend of events. A lot of times someone will come to run the marathon and bring family to do all of our events. We kick off Friday night with the 1 mile.
Yeah, what are the peripheral events?
Well, we call them our ancillary events, and we have on Saturday a 10K, a 5K. We do an event for people with special abilities. By popular demand, we have the flying fur for people who want to run with their dogs, although a few pigs, goats, and other animals have shown up, but
wow.
It's the flying fur. And then we have a youth program. It's an incremental run where we have about 5,000 children enrolled who will do their 25 miles the months leading up, a couple miles a week, and then they get to finish on Saturday under the same finish the marathoners will be using. So it's really quite exciting for them.
And it's a greater good fundraiser, right?
Absolutely. We are a not-for-profit, a 501c3 ourselves, who raise money for other charities. To date, we're approaching $20 million that has been raised for a number of very worthwhile causes.
Do you have an anchor?
In the early years, team and training was the Leukemia Lymphoma Society was our primary. They just had a very good model for raising money. So many other causes and entities have now emulated that we have all the big guys, you know, American Cancer Society, all that you've heard of, but also it goes down to some very small events. You know, we have Boy Scout, Girl Scout troops who volunteer for us. That's one of the ways our charity partners raise money. They bring volunteers, we write a check to their organization. That's been a model that, again, is now used in other marathons, but was pretty unique with us in the early years. For example, Flying Pig Weekend, we have a little over 8,000 volunteers helping to put on the weekend of events.
They get pig t-shirts?
Grunt shirts. We affectionately refer to them as our grunts. Our spectators are squealers. We cross this finish line. The pig is just very conducive to all the puns. And as I said, we take our event very, very seriously. We have some very competitive runners. We don't pay prize money. We give a lot of swag. It's always been billed kind of as the every person's marathon. We attract a lot of first timers. We have competitors from all 50 states. This year we had 22 foreign countries represented. So it's grown just incrementally through the years.
So it's legend, myth, legend and lore, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And we keep adding to it, try to add to something every year, try to make it a little different, but always trying to exceed expectations.
So USA Today does an annual readers' poll, the readers' favorite marathon.
Yes.
Where do you place on that one?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. They just did it this year, and the voting ran through April. 20 marathons were nominated, their criteria. I'm not sure what it was, but they said we were carefully vetted. And from the get-go, we were number one.
Wow.
The last week of the voting, you don't know where you stand. We ended number one. And the New York Marathon came up very close, but we won out. Marine Corps was number three. I love that marathon, an excellent marathon. Big Sur, arguably the most beautiful course in the country along the coast in California. So we were honored, and it's interesting. It's something you strive for. You put all of your effort, your passion, your commitment into it, and no one was more shocked than we when we won. But
do you attribute that to the pig?
Absolutely. To the pig, the reputation, word of mouth. I mean, runners recommend to other runners where to go if you want to have a good time. And we've just been so fortunate to have people enjoy the experience we try to put on. And our uniqueness, I think, attracts people as well.
So part of it is environmental, the course itself?
The course, it's a tough course. We don't shy away from the fact that Cincinnati is not your typical flat Midwestern town. We have seven hills, just like the city of Rome. So our course includes a few of those. In the first 7 miles, you climb to a beautiful panoramic view of the river and the city. And then after that, it's pretty rolling.
So but down, is any downhill?
The half course gets their last 4 miles downhill, but the full, they don't get so much downhill. Obviously, if you go up, you have to come down, but it's very rolling and gradual. Mm-hmm. And they do have a flat course from about mile 22 on in.
Nice.
Yeah.
So they're forgiving you at the end.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They're so exhilarated to have done their own marathon, whatever their goal was. If you have a little bit of part of helping them achieve that goal, you celebrate their achievement.
And you're a veteran. You've run a few yourself, haven't you?
Myself, yes. Yeah. It's not an easy undertaking, but I will say, if I'm going to, in the spirit of full disclosure, the half is my favorite distance. We have a local Thanksgiving Day race. It's the sixth oldest continuous road race in the country. I've done 39 of those to date. I've even missed some in between, but done 39 of them. And
you have a lot of pigs on your wall then, huh?
Oh, yes. A lot of pigs, a lot of medals, and more importantly, wonderful memories.
That's so cool. Okay, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
You can find us on our website, flyingpigmarathon.com. Mm-hmm. We have year-round events, but our signature event is the Flying Pig Weekend of Events, first weekend in May.
And I'm sure you have some other social media?
Absolutely. Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. Well, it's now.
Yeah. Formerly
the new,
Twitter.
Formerly Twitter. You know where to look for us. But yes, on all the social media platforms. I'd like to think we have a very prolific social media presence.
That's really cool.
And my name is Iris Simpson Bush.
Iris, thank you so much. This is great.
Is it? Is it what you were hoping for, Tom?
Yeah, no kidding. What
good,
a
good.
What a surprise. Pleasant surprise.
Thank you.
Who would guess?
You. It's an honor.
The flying pig rules.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. We do fly in Cincinnati.
All right. And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Cincinnati. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.